Do you feel the economy would catch you if you took the leap and left your job? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. At the end of last week, there was a disappointing monthly employment report. And this morning, we're knowing more about how the labor market is doing. It's the JOLTS report, short for Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. It looks at how many people are leaving or losing their jobs and getting new ones. From the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman had this preview.
Back in 2013, there were still three unemployed people fighting for every available job. Now that's fallen by half. And the rate at which people voluntarily quit to look for something better is back up to pre-recession levels, says economist Andrew Chamberlain at research firm Glassdoor.
If you're in healthcare or professional services, which includes all of those Silicon Valley tech jobs, the labor market looks terrific, and people in those fields are jumping ship.
Elise Gould at the Progressive Economic Policy Institute says while it's true there are a lot of job openings now, there are also still a lot of unemployed job seekers. But many companies are reluctant to actually hire.
They may think, oh, I'll see if somebody might be interested at this relatively low wage that I'm willing to offer, but I'm not willing to really fill it if I have to pay a lot more.
Chamberlain is confident that as the job market keeps improving, employers will have to sweeten the pot to attract and hold on to the workers they need. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Paychecks are still mighty fine for hedge fund managers, despite so many funds where returns have been disappointing. A report this morning from an outfit called Institutional Investors Alpha finds, for instance, the two highest paid hedge fund managers took home $1.7 billion apiece last year. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here with more on the top 25 moneymakers. Let's start with a quick review of how these folks make money.
David, they manage giant pools of money mostly from big investors, putting that money into a mix of sometimes riskier investments that can also have huge returns. Fund managers charge a percentage of the money managed and then a much larger amount on any returns.
But so much of the news lately for hedge funds has been rocky.
It has. We've seen reports that federal regulators are looking for ways to crack down on the funds and make sure they're using investors' money responsibly. And returns are down. Some people are getting out of the hedge fund business, but it's all relative. For example, to go back to these top 25 hedge fund managers, that group combined took in about $13 billion in 2015. But that's about half the money the top 25 earned in 2009 after they essentially cashed in on the Great Recession. That's the Big Short moment.
So hedge fund managers are still making a lot of money, even though some of the funds are tanking.
And another thing that's been changing here is the digital element. The website Institutional Investors says around half of the big money makers in 2015 were using computer-generated investment strategies. My favorite detail from the report was the fact that five of the guys on this top earning list managed some funds that lost money.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. As part of our occasional series called Pro Tool, we feature people with strong opinions about the tools they prefer on the job, people willing to make a case that their piece of kit is the best for the job. From Denver now, here's artist Jeffrey Keith, a painter.
I was told early on, I was probably 16 or 17 years old, and I was getting ready to go to college, that one of the tools a painter always needed was a spoon. I asked, well, why do I need a spoon? What's the spoon about? The man, my teacher at the time, who told me about this, said, well, you just need it. You know, just make sure you have a spoon. And so what you mostly use it for actually is the handle end is really just perfect for opening paint cans. And then the other part, the spoon part, is great for rubbing things down, like if you're making a block print or a wood print, so that it takes the ink. It's part of my toolbox, literally. You know, it's something that I have and I've had for a long time, and it's reassuring and it adds depth to my job. I work alone a lot, you know, so my tools are important to me. I develop a fondness for them. Back in the 70s and 80s, when I was a formative artist, abstract painting, it was not what the forward-looking artists of the day were making. So in order to gain some sort of feeling of kinship with serious artists who were working in the abstract, I used to listen to Thelonious Monk and Coltrane. If you listen to Thelonious Monk, what you hear is discord. You wonder, what is that note? What are those notes doing in this thing? I'm supposed to enjoy this, and he's messing with me. Some of my favorite paintings of my career are the ones where the color is really off. It's just not color you would normally think, but in spite of itself, it works and it's beautiful.
What brand of music here? It is indeed Mr. Monk, Misterioso. What brand of spoon? Doesn't matter for this one, it's a spoon. This series is produced by Marketplace's Katie Long. See more from our Pro Tool collection, from the Soul Stitcher for shoes to anti-radiation gear. You can also submit your own best tool at marketplace.org/protool. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.